Welcome to the May 5th, 2026 Annals of Internal Medicine podcast. I'm Dr. Christine Lane, Annals Editor-in-Chief, with a quick summary of the new material you'll find on annals.org. Many will attest that the worst part of a colonoscopy is not the procedure itself, but the bowel prep. Many preps include drinking a large volume of unappealing liquid. The first article I'll mention reports the results of a randomized trial that compared the effectiveness, safety, and tolerability of different volumes of polyethylene glycol regimens for bowel preparation for hospitalized patients needing colonoscopy during the hospital stay. Researchers from the University of Bologna and colleagues randomly assigned 665 patients across 7 hospitals in Italy to receive 1 liter, 2 liter, or 4 liters of polyethylene glycol solution before their procedure, and the endoscopists assessed bowel cleanliness without knowing which preparation was used. All 3 regimens produced similar rates of adequate cleansing, including in the right side of the colon, where inadequate preparation increases the risk of missed lesions. Patient ratings of tolerability were good across all 3 regimens, but the highest willingness to repeat was observed in the patients who received the 1-liter prep. The findings suggest that lower volume preparation may be an effective and acceptable option for inpatient colonoscopy. Whether these findings are generalizable to outpatients warrants future research. Next is a retrospective study that examined patterns of initiating medication for alcohol use disorder in a cohort of veterans hospitalized for alcohol use disorder. Researchers from the Veterans Administration, Pittsburgh Healthcare System, and colleagues reviewed records for more than 29,000 hospitalizations for alcohol use disorder across 142 Veterans Health Administration hospitals during 2022 and 2023, to understand how often medication for alcohol use disorder was initiated in patients hospitalized for alcohol use disorder and what factors were associated with initiation. The primary outcome was the initiation of medication for alcohol use disorder either during the hospitalization or within 7 days following hospital discharge. They found that medication was started in only 30.8% of study patients, most often during the hospital stay, and usually continued after discharge. Initiation of medication was more common when patients received addiction or psychiatric care, and less common in older veterans, American Indian or Alaska Native veterans, and those treated in intensive care units. The findings suggest that improvement is needed in the initiation of evidence-based care for veterans hospitalized with alcohol use disorder. Researchers from Massachusetts General Hospital and colleagues analyzed U.S. hospital discharge data from 2016 to 2022 to compare rates of amputations during opioid-related hospital stays with those during non-opioid-related hospital stays. They found that amputation rates increased in both groups over time, but the rise was significantly greater among patients hospitalized with opioid-related conditions, particularly in the Northeast and Western U.S. The findings underscore the need for prevention and early wound care among people who use opioids. Next is the report of a systematic evidence review that identified 43 randomized clinical trials involving more than 14,700 adults comparing various pharmacologic interventions for chronic migraines with placebo. The authors found that several newer drugs that target calcitonin gene-related peptides reduced monthly migraine stays by about 2 days on average and were generally well-tolerated. Evidence for older treatments, including botulinum toxin and some traditional oral medications, was weaker. The findings suggest that most calcitonin gene-related peptide-targeted therapies are likely effective options for preventing chronic migraine. However, there are important limitations to consider, including costs, and that the studies of these agents are largely driven by industry and did not conclude comparisons with older therapies like botulinum toxin and traditional oral medications. Additional new articles include a commentary on FDA clearance and AI-based health interventions, an IM Matters News interview with the author of a recently published American College of Physicians guidance statement on breast cancer screening, and a History of Medicine article about student and resident involvement during a 1955 polio outbreak in Massachusetts just prior to the licensing of the Salk vaccine. Finally, I want to draw your attention to a new Annals Guide to Journal Club. This feature provides a reading guide, answer key, and slides for conducting a journal club discussing a recent Annals article on the comparative effectiveness and safety of apixaban, rivaroxaban, and warfarin in patients with cirrhosis and atrial fibrillation. That brings us to the end of this podcast. Thanks for listening, and thanks to Beth Jenkinson, Andrew Langman, and Bernie Turner for their technical support.